Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, March 25th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show usually every Wednesday from 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen in live or you can tune in whenever it's convenient for you because all of the shows are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website, which is www.drdiolanier.com, and spelled out, that's www.drdiolanier.com. Now, I said that we air the show usually every Wednesday, and I meant that we did. However, for the month of April, I will be on sabbatical, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I have some projects that I'm looking forward to devoting all of my time to working on. Well, most of the time. I do have the wife and mother thing to take care of as well, but I'm looking forward to working on those projects. And so for the month of April, we will not air any new shows. And I encourage you, if you do want your weekly fix of the Healthy Lifestyle Show, please tune in and check out one of the archive shows. And we will be back with a new show May 6th. Actually, it's the first Wednesday in May. So just wanted to let you know that before we even get started. Now, we are finishing up with the Health and Wellness in the News series. And last week, we talked about the importance of recess and physical activity of all types for children, and especially young children, and talked specifically about an article that was in Pediatrics, which is the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, from earlier this year. And today, we're going to jump back over from activity to nutrition. And I did mention before the healthassist.net website that has a lot of great information on nutrition as well as articles. And actually, I will be talking about a couple of them today. And the first that we'll discuss will be 14 Habits That Make You Fat. I really do love the titles. They're actually pretty catchy. Definitely want you to draw you in and have you read the article, and I think that's actually a good one. So we will start off by talking about that article. Once again, from healthassist.net. And the first thing on the list of the 14 habits that make you fat is TV watching. That's not actually a surprise to me, but it does top their list. And they say that prolonged TV watching is a strong predictor for obesity, and we know that there's research to back that up as well. And they mentioned recent research that's proved that people who watch around 2 hours of TV per day are more likely to be overweight than those who watched only half an hour per day. So when you watch TV, you are just kind of sitting there, so you're not moving at all for the most part. So your heart rate, your blood pressure, and metabolic rate is going to go down. It's going to decline, which results in burning about 20 to 30 calories per hour. They also mentioned research done by Harvard University that's shown that there's a link between the amount children eat and the amount of television they watch. So that is something important to consider, and that's why it tops the list at number one. The second thing on the 14 habits that make you fat is eating too fast. Now, eating fast is a habit that most people living in a fast-paced society tend to deal with. When you're eating fast, you wind up eating much more before you're even fully aware of it. It takes the brain about 15 to 20 minutes to start signaling feelings of fullness. So scientists suppose that if you're eating fast, it's a risk factor for metabolic syndrome, which is a combination of the symptoms that include high blood pressure, obesity, high cholesterol, and insulin resistance. And we all know how that is. You kind of sit down and you're quickly spooning food in. And so it's important for us to be mindful of the fact that if you're eating fast, you may miss some of those cues that your body gives you, indicating that you're full. Number three on the list is task snacking. Now, task snacking refers to eating while you're doing other activities. So if you often eat meals or snacks while you're working by yourself in front of the computer, or while you're driving in the car, while you're watching TV, or even standing at the kitchen counter snacking while you're cooking, or which is a little more than tasting while you're cooking, but snacking in the kitchen. Even if you're shopping with a friend or talking on the phone, there are a lot of things that activities that we go about doing in our daily lives that if you add on snacking as a part of that, it's going to wind up increasing your odds of becoming overweight or obese. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that maybe we're not being as mindful when we're snacking in those situations, that we're distracted by things other than what we're actually putting into our mouths. Number four on the list is frequent fast food consumption. And one of the big reasons we're seeing more obesity in our society these days is that we're too stressed and we're too busy and running around too much to make healthy dinners at home. Hopefully that's changing a little bit more. But a lot of times when you're going about and you have lots of things that you're doing, you may opt to get fast food from the nearest drive-through restaurant rather than either make something at home, or even if we're not thinking about planning to make something at home and bring it, if we don't enter that plan into the mix, we can kind of get caught like, oh, it's dinner time and not sure what we're going to do. And you look and there's drive-through everywhere you turn around, so you wind up choosing that option. So fast food really compromise the quality of the diet by replacing more healthy foods. So things like salads, healthy fruits and vegetables are sometimes compromised depending on what you get at the fast food restaurant. Also, fast foods are really known for having a high content of saturated and trans fats, as well as a low content of fiber and really huge portion sizes. And all of those can lead to obesity. So something to keep in mind. Number five on the list of 14 habits that make you fat is eating to manage feelings. Now, emotional eating is the practice of consuming large quantities of food, and these are usually comfort foods or junk foods, usually foods that aren't quite the healthiest option or foods that we look to for comfort. And so eating those in response to feelings that we may have, such as depression, sadness, anxiety, or loneliness, instead of hunger. And so experts estimate, and this what I found very interesting, experts estimate that 75% of overeating is caused by emotions. Now, that is a huge number, and if you're a fractions person rather than a percentage person, three-quarters of overeating caused by emotions or emotional eating of some sort. And so there, I have mentioned before that sometimes I actually have fallen victim to overeating as well, where you find yourself kind of scouring around in the kitchen for a snack or just munching absently when you're stressed out. And if you're really, you know, in tune with it, you may know that I need something crunchy because I'm a little stressed right now, or I want something sweet to get kind of lost in because I'm feeling this way or that way. And so that's a huge problem, and it's something that we should also pay a little bit more attention to when you're reaching for something, making sure that you're saying to yourself, am I hungry for this right now, or is there something else that I'm trying to cover as a result of it, by trying to eat something instead of dealing with whatever emotion you may be having at that time. Number six, too busy to exercise. So all of us have demands on our schedule, and exercise may be one of the last things on your ever-growing to-do list. And a lot of people feel that way. As Americans, we live more sedentary lifestyles than we have in past generations, but our minds are racing with everything that we have to do. And sometimes, and they mention here that, you know, we may be sitting in traffic or clocking in hours at your desk, or even if you're just kind of sitting in front of the TV, you're just tired and you want to veg out in front of the television, you may put all of those things in, but fail to include exercise on that list, or exercise may be the thing that kind of falls by the wayside in situations like that. So that's one other habit that can make us fat. Number seven, your friends can make you fat. If you are putting on weight, They say in this article, you may want to take a look at who you're hanging around. They quoted a study which was published in the July 26, 2007 edition of the New England Journal of Medicine that suggests that obesity may be, quote, socially contagious, end quote. And the study was conducted on more than 12,000 people over 32 years, and they concluded that having an overweight friend, sibling, or spouse increase one's risk of obesity by 37 to 57%. So almost 40 to 60% of an increase when you have an overweight friend, sibling, or spouse. So I thought that was an interesting little factoid. Number eight is a lack of sleep. Sleep deprivation can cause an increase in your risk of obesity by boosting ghrelin, which is an appetite-stimulating hormone in our bodies, and by lowering leptin, which is an appetite suppressor in our bodies. They quoted actually a study from the University of Bristol in the United Kingdom, and that study found that compared to 8 hours of sleep, each 1 hour decrease in sleep duration was linked to almost 3% more body fat. So instead of getting 8 hours, you get 7 hours, almost 3% more body fat. If you come on down to only 6 hours, then almost 6% of body fat. And it just goes on the way they have it. Each 1 hour decrease was linked to almost 3% more body fat. So that actually, if nothing else, besides the fact that sleeping makes us more rested and alert and able to tackle the challenges of the day, makes us feel a little better when we're more rested, this is actually another reason for us to make sure we're getting the sleep and the rest that we need. Number nine on the list was being unaware of calories and fat that you're taking in. So many times we eat foods and we have no idea of the calories or fat value, and that's going to wind up leading to weight gain and unhealthy eating habits because you can easily consume twice or three times the normal calories required to maintain your weight, let alone lose weight. Especially if you don't know how many calories you're eating. I have been to restaurants where they, on the menu, will have a light option, and they'll list the calories for the light option, including the dessert. And I think I remember one dessert was like, I don't know if it was somewhere between 200 and 300 calories, and I'm like, wow, well, how many calories are in the regular dessert? And I don't see too many that actually have that. But it's a good idea to have an idea of how many calories we're taking in so we can kind of keep that in check as much as possible. Number 10, credit cards. So your plastic may be affecting more than just your credit score, according to this article. Visa conducted a study of 100,000 fast food restaurant transactions and found that people who pay for their food with a credit card wound up spending 30% more than those who paid with cash while they were getting the food. So for the average woman who visits a fast food restaurant once per week, that adds on, they calculated, an extra 17,160 calories or 4.99 pounds per year. So that's almost 5 pounds per year. And almost 18,000 extra calories. So who knew? I thought that was interesting. Number 11, missing meals. Research shows that people who eat breakfast are less likely to be overweight, and that morning meals seem to help people who lost weight actually keep that weight off. So Dr. Denise Brunner, who's an obesity specialist and is the former president of the American Society of Bariatric Physicians, says that skipping meals of any kind results in a tremendous bout of compensatory hunger. So what happens is you wind up, really being extremely hungry and eating more than you probably would have had you eaten smaller, frequent meals throughout the day rather than skipping a meal. And I've heard so many people, especially when I've seen patients, especially teenagers for some reason, or that tween age, who just kind of like they don't eat breakfast. And when I ask them, they're just like, oh, I just don't, you know, have time or don't even think about it. And so, or even if you're trying and you may think that, oh, I'm just going to skip breakfast and try to lose weight, that really can actually wind up backfiring on you because you wind up being hungrier. And when we're talking about children, you know, as well as adults, but when you're talking about children, it's going to be harder for them to concentrate if they don't have that fuel that their brains and their bodies need in order to go about their school day. And the same thing for adults when you're at work or doing whatever activities you're doing. You do need that, and it does help control your hunger a little bit better than skipping breakfast, certainly, but any meal in general. Number 12 is uncomfortable clothing. So researchers from the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse, found that casual and comfortable clothing days promote increased physical activity. So specifically, the study participants took an average of 491 or 8% more steps on jeans day than on the days where they wore their normal business attire. And so it's also estimated that study participants burned on average about 25 additional calories on jeans day, with extra steps and miles walked. So wearing casual clothing every day for 50 weeks of work is going to translate to burning an additional 125 calories per week and 6,250 calories per year. So that actually makes sense to me. If you're more casually dressed and wearing sensible shoes, you're more likely Well, not more likely, but it's easier, it seems, to walk a little bit more, maybe take the stairs, than if you're wearing clothes that may be a little bit more dressy, or definitely for women, if you're wearing heels, it may be hard to think about taking 4 flights of stairs instead of, you know, if you're wearing something, a flat or a more sensible shoe. So that makes sense to me. Number 13, neglecting scales. So a recent study from the University of Minnesota found that dieters who weighed themselves daily lost about 12 pounds over 2 years, while those who never did shed only 4 pounds. And there's other research published in the New England Journal of Medicine concluded that those who have daily weigh-ins along with a face-to-face support are 82% less likely to regain 5 pounds than a control group without weigh-ins or the support. So some people, you know, I see where that comes from. It gives you more of an idea of where you stand. I think there are two sides to that, however. If you never weigh yourself, then, and you're trying to be mindful, for some people, they can get on the scale and say, ooh, I'm doing a little bit too much, and then they can be a little bit more mindful about the calories they may be taking in, or choose healthier options rather than something that may be more fattening, contain more calories, more fat, and more things that aren't going to be as healthy for them. For some people, though, it can be disheartening to get on a scale. So instead of having that as a motivation or a motivating factor towards eating better or maybe increasing the physical activity, it can really get them down. And they get on and they're like, oh, what's the use? And they wind up eating more or just, you know, kind of not being as physically active because they've sabotaged themselves in their mind, or they've gotten so down on that number and paying so much attention to that number that it really gets in the way of any changes that they may want to make. So I think that I definitely see where that is going, and I think that it is good if you're able to do that, to have an idea. It doesn't have to be all the time, but to have an idea, a gauge for yourself. But if you notice that it's a problem, I think you should keep that in mind too. Last but not least on the list of 14 habits that make you fat, number 14, and that is boredom. So a survey by the Priory Group in the UK found that more people ate when bored than when stressed. I can see that as well, actually. I actually would think it'd be a lot with stress, but I can see boredom because a lot of times if you're sitting around doing things or you're like, oh, I'm just sitting here, nothing to do, I might as well eat. And I actually do see that with young people. If they get home from school and they're bored, that can be the times when I'm saying young people, but I think that can be any age group, start raiding the pantry, cabinets, and fridge to look for something to just fill that up. So I could definitely see that. Boredom is number 14 and definitely shows us that we should definitely pay attention to the reasons why we're eating the foods that we eat. In case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are talking about health and wellness in the news. We're back on nutrition. We just went over 14 habits that make you fat from healthassist.net website. The next article that I'm talking about from that site is 8 simple ways to eat healthier. So since I'm telling you about these habits that are maybe not be the best for us, I will talk about 8 simple ways to eat healthier. So many people have weaknesses for certain food. I know for myself sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes I like my chocolate, I have to say. But there may be some people where French fries are important. And so I think it's important for us not to continually deprive ourselves because then that can throw you off as well, and you may want that more than ever if you don't have it. But it's important for us to pay attention to what we're eating, and you may want to eat those things, but you don't have to feel like you need to eat those things. So I think healthy eating in moderation is going to be the best thing for most people, and that can solve all of those problems with some of the foods we may want to eat. So you definitely want to make sure that you're not cutting out nutrients, but just calories that may not be as necessary, as well as fats and other chemicals and refined carbs can be a great way to change our diet to eat things that are healthier for us and to take those small steps in that direction. So first on their list of 8 simple ways to eat healthier was eating slowly, which also was discussed a little bit on the flip side in the other article that I talked about. But eating slowly is really a key. And so we need to really take our time when we're eating so that we can enjoy and savor our food. And when you eat more slowly, you taste the food more and you're satisfied with less. And eating slowly gradually reduces your appetite right from the time you start to eat. They quoted a recent Japanese research study that confirmed that, and they found that eating fast is strongly associated with obesity and increased body mass index, or BMI. It's also a well-known fact that digestion begins in your mouth. So by your chewing your food more thoroughly, it's going to promote a smooth and complete digestion starting in your mouth and then continuing in your GI or gastrointestinal tract. But a lot of people don't really think about food as a source of pleasure. They think about, oh, I just got to eat so I'm not feeling hungry, or I got to get the nutrients in, or just something to stop my stomach from growling. And so it's not abnormal to see people just kind of gulping down drinks and burgers or fries while they're working on their laptops or talking on their cell phones or watching TV. And that, again, talks to being more mindful. It's easier to enjoy your food if you're not doing anything else while you're eating it, so you can concentrate on that. Number 2 on the list of 8 simple ways to eat healthier is controlling your portion size and eating until you're sufficed, or I say satisfied, and not stuffed. This is also easier to achieve if you're eating slowly. And when you eat fast, you consume a lot more before you're aware of it. And as I mentioned, it takes your brain about 15 to 20 minutes to start signaling feelings of fullness. So you really need to give your body that time to have that signal go off. And so satiety signals or fullness signals will begin to develop before your plate is even empty, and you're going to wind up eating less. And if you love food, it doesn't mean that you have to eat a lot of it, but if you get a smaller plate, sometimes that's enough to psych your mind into thinking that you're having more food than you are. And it's really your perception of a reasonable serving size can be based on the size of your plate. So if you have a large plate, that's going to encourage overeating, because typically we will have our food fill our plate. And so if it's smaller, you're going to wind up eating less. And I think I mentioned before where they did a study where they actually had people eating, and the people wound up eating on regular-sized dinner plates, which are pretty large. They ate until the food was gone. But then on different occasion, when they had those people with blindfolds and had them eating, they were better able to eat until they were full. And so by the time they took off the blindfold, they were shocked at how much food was still on the plate, but they were more able not to rely on those visual cues and just to listen to their bodies and when the body was telling them that they was full rather than looking on the plate and still seeing food. So visual cues are very important, and I think a smaller plate can help us with that. Number three is limiting processed meats. So most processed meats, such as sausages, hot dogs, bacon, ham, frankfurters, all of those type of things are really full of trans fats and sodium as well as preservatives. So you can find sodium nitrite, which is actually a toxic chemical, in nearly every packaged meat product that you can name, really. It's listed right on the label of products like bacon, breakfast sausage, beef jerky, pepperoni, sandwich meat, ham, hot dogs, and even the meat that's found in canned soups. And what sodium nitrite is a chemical that is a color fixer. So it turns meat bright red and makes old, dead-ish looking kind of meat, it makes it appear fresh and vibrant. And I'm not sure many of you who may have gone to purchase some kind of meat, whether it be steak or maybe ground beef, where it looks all bright and red, and then maybe you take it out of the package and the underside of it looks a little brownish and old and not so good. And so sodium nitrite can help with that. But there are ways to get around that. If you choose to consume any processed meat products, you can reduce the harmful effects of sodium nitrite by taking in antioxidants before your meal. So the proven protective strategy is to consume fairly large doses, or I would say good-sized doses, of vitamin C and E before dietary exposure to sodium nitrite, so getting those in a healthy fashion. Another way would be to purchase processed meats without the sodium nitrite in it. There are some that are prepared in a way that don't have the sodium nitrite in it. I think Applegate, if I'm thinking of the right brand, has foods like that that are packaged but don't have that type of preservative in it. Number four, red meat may be a part of a healthy diet. Now, if you are a meat eater and you choose to eat red meat, I think that it's probably a good idea to limit how much red meat we take in general. But if you choose it correctly, it can be a source of dietary nutrients such as iron, zinc, vitamin B12, and protein. And so you just want to make sure that you consume lean cuts of meat and trim away any visible fat, which are going to be the part that contain the heavy metals and toxin concentrated in those fat tissues. So if you trim that, that's going to cut down on problems that we can see with red meat. Number five is cook at home. And that's going to allow you to have better control over how much sugar, fat, salt, and other things that are in your diet. Number six, avoiding high-temperature cooking methods. So if you use cooking methods like baking, broiling, or stewing, that's going to be better than cooking in high temperatures with lots of fat. Number seven, eliminate soda drinks. Which is important because they don't have nutrients and you can cut out quite a bit of sugar and calories. And number eight is self-discipline. Developing a habit of caution after a period of excess will be a great way to make sure that we avoid overeating and can eat healthier overall. So I want to thank you so much for joining me on today's show. Hopefully those tips are helpful for you. As I mentioned, I will be on sabbatical and off for the month of April, but I will join you again on May 6th, which is a Wednesday. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless.